The following is a recording for Bill Thorne with the National Retail Federation on Tuesday, November 28, 2017 at 12 p.m. Central Time. Excuse me, everyone. We now have our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, further instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Bill Thorne. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Victoria, and thank you all on the phone for joining us today as we review the Thanksgiving weekend consumer survey results for the National Retail Federation. I'm Bill Thorne. I'm the Senior Vice President of Communications and Public Affairs. I'm joined today by our President and CEO, Matthew Shea, and also Phil Rist, who is the Executive Vice President at Prosper. He'll be on the call to answer questions about the survey. Now, before I get started, I want to hand it over to Mark Matthews. He's our Vice President of Research Development and Industry Analysis at NRF. He's going to talk briefly about the changes that we made to the survey this year. Mark?
Thank you, Bill, and hello, everybody. So the changes we've made are fundamentally about keeping pace with the reality of the modern retail industry. Retailers and consumers don't look at this as Black Friday versus Cyber Monday. It's about the shopping experience, and each of these days is part of a larger and very significant whole. So reporting our survey later allows us to look back retrospectively and capture a more accurate view of what's happened over the entirety of the Thanksgiving holiday. One final note of caution, please do not go back and try to make comparisons between this year's and last year's survey or extrapolate a number based on the data we're providing, because they are measured differently, and therefore any comparisons would be inaccurate. If you want a perspective on what this means for the holiday season, we're still expecting holiday sales to be up 3.6 to 4% and continue to have a lot of confidence in that number. Back to you, Bill.
Thank you, Mark. So, Matt, there's a lot to cover, but first let's start with the top lines. Based on the survey and your conversations with retail leadership across the country, how did the weekend look?
Bill, thanks. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. The weekend looked and felt great. I think the numbers that we're reporting today and that have been reported by others throughout the weekend validate all of that optimism, which we felt going into the weekend. The fundamentals of the economy, obviously, are very strong and remain strong. That sustained the economy throughout this year, as we've seen moderate but accelerating growth, especially the last two quarters of 3% GDP. We know consumer sentiment is high, and so that combination of high consumer sentiment and the overall health of the macroeconomy, those are both very, very good things for the retail industry, for small and large retail businesses, and for the consumers that we serve. I guess another dimension to this that has been pointed out by others is the fact that we had favorable weather conditions across the country. That certainly played a role. Certainly was not a deterrent in any parts of the country. It was a little warmer and certainly drier than some years, maybe with the exception of the Northeast, where it was rather cool for anybody to watch the parade on Thanksgiving Day. I guess the other thing that I would observe is that for the first time in several years, we don't have any other disruptive external factors that contribute to impacting consumer psyche and retail psyche. So if you roll this back 4, 5, 6, 7 years, we've had the fiscal cliff, we've had the government shutdown, we've had interesting and sometimes controversial elections, we had the Brexit a year ago. So none of those things are issues this year, and I think that all contributed. And I guess the final piece of this, in terms of the part that that retailers can control, is that retailers have invested heavily in both the experience for their consumers and the technology that they need to prepare for this very important weekend, for this time of the year. And we saw those things really gaining traction, those investments bearing fruit and really paying off. All of those things contributed to what was a very strong weekend for retailers and an even better weekend for consumers. More than 174 million consumers shopped in the period between Thursday to Monday. That is significantly higher than the 164 million who told us in our pre-Thanksgiving survey that they would shop. And the amount of spending they did on average was just a little over $335 per person. As I know you all watched closely and saw yourselves, there were some great deals to be found over the weekend. And among those shoppers who were out and who were making purchases, 60% of them said the majority of their purchases were driven primarily by sales. And 48% of the shoppers over the weekend told us that the deals they saw this weekend were better than what they had seen earlier in the season, which I think demonstrated that that retailers were ready, they were prepared, they had the right merchandise and the inventory mixes at the right prices, and consumers took note of that, and they found really great deals, and that resulted in this this really very, very strong weekend that we experienced.
Matt, it seems that we read and hear a lot about online or in-store clicks and bricks, brick-and-mortar versus online. Tell us how you saw the weekend play out as it relates to the different shopping channels.
Well, I guess the big takeaway here is that that we know now gone are the days when you could measure the success of this weekend, or for that matter, the success of retail more broadly speaking, by looking through a single metric. And we saw that play out in a big way over the weekend. As we break down that 174 million that were shopping, there were 58 million consumers who shopped exclusively online. There were 51 million who shopped exclusively in store, but an even higher number of consumers, 65 million, shopped both online and in store. And I think that's telling really for one very big reason, and that is that the folks that shop both online and in store spend more money than those that shop exclusively in one or the other channel. The multi-channel, or maybe we should call them the channel agnostic shopper, who moves seamlessly across the offerings made by retailers without making distinctions about whether it's in-store or online, spent 17% more or about $49 more on average than the consumer that shopped in-store only. And the multi-channel shopper spent $82 or 32% more on average than the person who shopped online only. And I think that number is really telling, because if you believe those that have many times predicted and been proven wrong that the retail industry is in death throes, lots of times they point to the internet and online-only shoppers as the precursor to some dramatic demise for the retail industry. And the truth is that the shoppers who shop online only spend less money than those that shop either in-store only or on across channels. And that was borne out by the results of the survey and what we found through our experience this weekend. Retailers, we know, are acutely aware of how their consumers behave. They're meeting them where they want to shop, how they want to shop, when they want to shop. The big story of the weekend is about mobile shopping. That's certainly a key element of that engagement. Earlier this year in our State of Retail online report, majority, 54% of retailers told us that mobile was their top priority for 2017, and those investments really paid off over the weekend. We saw nearly 64% of smartphone users turn to those devices to make purchasing decisions, and 29% actually making purchases from their smartphone. So whether it was for research or for an actual purchase, we know that retailers are making the investments they need to make to provide those opportunities to their consumers. And we know that consumers are relying increasingly on making those decisions with their smartphones.
And at the end of the day, Matt, I mean, I think we all agree a sale is a sale is a sale, whether it happens in-store or online. These are retail sales, and you can't really differentiate between the two.
No, we can't, and we shouldn't, and we know that our members don't, and we know increasingly that consumers don't, and that speaks both to the results of the survey and some of the things that Mark identified earlier is why we're doing the survey differently this year as we go forward, because this is one big weekend of shopping and there really is no distinction at the end of the day, particularly when we take into consideration the source of most of those online purchases and the fact that those are operated by retail companies, and that's just another dimension to the way in which they engage with their consumers.
Matt, before we go over to Phil, who's going to share some additional numbers from the survey, what do you see moving forward in the season? And we always say, I think I've said it every time we've done this call, it's a marathon, not a sprint. We've got an extra weekend this year. What do you think is going to happen as we move closer to the holidays?
Well, I would say things are setting up very well for a very strong finish to the year. We've got four full weekends. We've got an extra shopping day compared to a year ago. We got off to a great start with this weekend, so we see very positive momentum. Having said that, this is really the halftime break of the holiday season. 91% of consumers still have shopping left to do, and 90% of them expect promotions to be the same or better as we get close to the end of the season. So we know that retailers are going to need to meet those expectations as we give deeper into the holiday season. And a big key is going to be capturing the momentum that we've seen over the last few days, turning that consumer interest into actual sales. And to make that happen, I think we'll see retailers focusing on their inventory management, pulling all the levers that they can in all areas to ensure they've got the right product in the right place, the merchandise mix, the pricing mix, the marketing. And that all comes down, I think, to the plans they made as they laid this out at the beginning of this year to get ready for this big Super Bowl of the holiday season. And I think we get to that last extra shopping day of the year, we're going to see we had a very strong year across the board.
Thanks, Matt. Hey, Phil, let's get down to some of the details. From your perspective, what were some of the interesting trends from over the weekend?
Sure. Thanks, Bill. As Matt said, it was a very good weekend for buying, whether the consumer was shopping for themselves or shopping for gifts. The average spend number, 75% of that were purchases made specifically for holiday gifts. We know from earlier surveys that the holidays are where consumers are looking to spend time with their family and find a perfect gift for a loved one. And as we saw, they used the holiday weekend to pick up some of those items for their friends and for their family's wish list. Looking specifically at some demographics, the men outspent women. Men spent an average of $392.75 versus $281.14 for women, but the men are more likely to purchase gifts in the electronics or shop at electronic stores, and these items are traditionally higher value items, and that played a role in their increased spending. Younger adults, those aged 25 to 34, is the segment that actually spent the most over the long 5-day time period. They spent $419.52. And what was also interesting about that younger group is 50% of them were shopping department stores, either in-store or online. And they had an increased focus on clothing and the accessories category at 63.1%. So that's going to make several merchants happy as we're going into the second half of the holiday season.
Thanks, Phil. Hey, Victoria, we'd like to open it up to questions now.
At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1.
Thank you, Victoria. While we're waiting for people to get into the queue, Matt, you just got back to the office from a meeting that you had with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and other Senate leadership regarding tax reform. And, you know, this has been a big issue for our industry. Do you really think the tax reform is going to happen? And what does that mean for consumers and retailers?
Well, Bill, I would go back to the beginning of this year when we surveyed our members about the top policy priorities and their primary agenda items for the year, and tax reform was number one on that list. It remains number one on the list. It's been very high on the list for the decades. We've been waiting to get tax relief for the retail industry and for the business community across the board, both large and small businesses. Today's event with Majority Leader McConnell, Senator Cornyn, and the Chairman of the Small Business Committee in the Senate, Senator Risch of Idaho, was a great opportunity to talk about some of those reasons and why we need to get tax reform done this year. We feel very optimistic that it's going to happen. We know that there is a narrow path to walk to get this done, but as the Senator Cornyn pointed out today, every member of the Senate wants to get, the Republican members of the Senate want to get this out. So they're all working toward a yes vote one way or the other. There's no one that's directly trying to impede the momentum on this. They just want to get the best product they can get out of it. And I think that should make us feel optimistic that there's a good chance we'll get this done. Obviously, this will have to be reconciled with what the House has already passed. But it's our view that the single best thing that could be done for the 3.6 million businesses in this country that are in the retail industry would be to pass this tax bill. And we're going to be working aggressively to make that happen between now and the end of the year in the hope and the belief that will actually come to pass.
That's great. All right, Victoria, first question.
Our first question comes from Courtney Reagan with CNBC.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for doing this call. Unless I'm mistaken, I don't think I've actually seen a physical release, so forgive me, but can you go over the shopper numbers again? I was typing quickly, and I can't be for sure. I didn't make a typo. Did you say 174 million shopped between Thursday and Monday?
Yes.
And then 58 million only online?
Yes, 58 million only online, 51 million exclusively in store, and 65 million both online and in store.
And then the average spend is $335?
Correct.
Okay.
And those multi-channel shoppers spent substantially more than those that shopped online only or in store only.
Got it. Okay. And I know you guys changed the survey, so it's not comparable to past years, but just to be clear, you guys did not ask sort of who shopped when. So that's just all an amalgamation of Thursday to Monday shopping. So those shoppers may have shopped only one day or a little bit every day?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
That was Mark Quirk.
Okay, great. And then I guess the last question I had, and this, it's sort of like not a nitpicky question, but I understand your point about a sale is a sale. If it's, for example, Macy's in-store or Macy's.com, yes, Macy's wants to capture the sale no matter which channel you want to choose. However, I don't think it's totally accurate to say that it's equal, because in most cases I believe that those online sales do have a lower margin. Do you have any further commentary from that about the retailers and about the breakout?
Well, Courtney, I remember the really nice the video that you did, or the graphics you prepared earlier this year that measured the cost basis and the expense and the profit margins on items sold in line and on store. And it's true that there are distinctions there. I guess the point that we're trying to make is that as retailers continue to make investments in order to remain competitive in this changing environment, they're finding ways to do that, and they're engaging successfully and getting their share of the sales that are taking place. And so we were very encouraged that across the weekend what we saw was strong engagement both in-store and online, and I guess, back to the point from a minute ago, that we saw that a majority of people that are out shopping are using both channels, or they're becoming increasingly channel agnostic, and I think that really validates and substantiates the investments that retailers are making to try to reach consumers in different ways. And I think when you combine that with the news we continue to see from the pure play of the online-only businesses who continue to make investments in the bricks and mortar, I think it all speaks to this continuing evolution of the industry. And it's going to look differently, next year on Black Friday and Cyber Monday than it does today, just as it did a year ago. However, that doesn't mean that the retail industry is going to go anywhere. It's just going to continue to look differently. And so I guess that the point we're trying to make, I think, simply is that retailers are engaging across channels, and that's a good thing for those consumers that shop those places and for those employees that work in those stores.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Courtney. Victoria, next question.
Our next question comes from Suzanne Kapner with The Wall Street Journal.
Hi, thanks for making yourselves available. Just, is this the full data set, so are you not releasing any actual sales numbers? And if not, is there anything more you could say to help put these numbers in context, like the 335 dollars spent over the 5-day period. Like, how do we look at that? Is that good? Is it not good? Anything you can sort of help to, you know, put some context around the numbers?
Hey, Phil, do you want to take that on? Or Mark?
I can try. what we're seeing is the consumer spending this period from Thursday through Monday is in line with our earlier surveys from October and November, early in November, on how they were approaching the holidays, their spending plans. Earlier in November, we had 69.3% of the people saying they were going to shop this Thursday through Monday time period, and the actual numbers were 70%, so they're exceeding our earlier surveys, and their confidence is up, they're feeling good. There's a lot of positives we're seeing in the activity. And to just reiterate what Matt said earlier about the importance of the mobile tool, and the consumers adopting the smartphone that travels with them as they're out in the physical world. And it gives consumers power, gives them options, and it allows them to shop on their own terms. And it was all good from our perspective, what we're seeing in the data.
Hey, Mark, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, sure. You know, we took a decision here to develop a new survey because we felt it was much more relevant to the way that we saw the industry heading. And, you know, clearly that creates some issues. You know, the last year's data is no longer comparable to this year's data. And it wasn't an easy decision to do that, but we think, you know, to move forward, this is the way we have to go. Next year, you know, everything will be comparable and you'll be able to look back. But this year, unfortunately, you know, the data is the data. And you're welcome to reach out to us if you need a bit more color, and we're happy to provide that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Victoria?
Our next question comes from Ann DiCinzio of the Associated Press.
Hi. Thanks for having the call. I have a question about the discounting or the consumer's kind of appetite for discounts. I know you changed, obviously, the methodology, but last year, you know, NRF had said, you know, more than a third of customers surveyed said that all of their purchases were on sale, up from 11% a year before that. Can you just give us a little more color? I know, you know, as I said, you changed the methodology, but what percentage of customers said that all of their purchases were on sale?
Hey, Mark, do you want to take that on?
Yeah, sure. So the numbers were similar this year to last year. Consumers said that pretty much they're looking for the same amount of promotions this year as last year. You know, clearly it continues to be an important factor for consumers. You know, I think we found that, you know, consumers this year were very, very interested in you know, utilizing promotions to purchase their goods.
Okay, and then I just had a quick question about department stores. You said millennials were really, you know, millennials are going back. 50% of millennials, I think you said, that were going to shop at department stores. Is that, you know, encouraging news after such a tough, you know, year for department stores? Seems like they held their own this past weekend.
Yeah, Ann, this is Matt Shea. I guess I would say in the conversations I had with executives across a number of different segments, including department stores, but across, you know, discount and specialty and, you know, a variety of segments of the industry, I think there was general optimism about the numbers, the in-store traffic, the growth in numbers in the stores as well as online seemed to be very consistent with what we had forecast, and I think people did feel good about the things that they had done this year to make investments to bring people into the stores, the way they had managed their inventory, the way they handled the offerings both in store and online, the promotions that they ran, and then the distorted experiences that they created in the stores, really, this whole idea of retailtainment and, you know, kind of giving people reasons to be there, both because of the product and because of the experience that they would enjoy while we were there, while people were in those stores, I think really paid off. And I think that is going to give good guidance and inform them as they go into the rest of this year, because they're getting validation of some of those strategies, and they'll continue to pursue those over the weeks ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. Victoria?
Our next question comes from Dana Telsey with Telsey Advisory Group.
Thank you very much for doing the call. As you think about your holiday season sales forecast of that 3.6% to 4%, how does this Black Friday weekend tally up to your forecast? Is there more enthusiasm, less enthusiasm? And in years past with Black Friday weekends, how did the Black Friday weekend track to the whole season sales forecast? Thank you.
Hey, Dana, it's Matt. Yes, only you would ask the question about how highly correlated, what's the R-square value of the correlation between the Black Friday weekend and the overall holiday sale. I guess I would say this. The last time we had holiday sales over the period that were in excess of 4% was 2014. The only two times since the recession, 2011, 2014, have we been in excess of 4%. We are not predicting that we'll be greater than 4% this year. And completely unrelated to that, in both of those years, we did have good Black Fridays. So I'm not suggesting that there is a correlation, but they're just coincidentally, in both of those years, there were very strong holiday weekends going into the year. We don't necessarily draw a straight line from this weekend to the rest of the holiday season for a variety of reasons, and you know lots of things can change between now and then. We've got 4.5 weeks to go. Almost 5 weeks to go. That's a long way to go, so lots of things can still change. But we're certainly encouraged that we're starting off from a position of strength and that we saw very positive momentum from consumers who are responding to the kinds of promotions and the pricing and the merchandising that retailers adopted to bring them out and shop both online and in store. And I think that does bode well for the rest of the year. I'll go back to the question that Bill asked me a minute ago about tax reform and the event we did this morning on Capitol Hill on the Senate side. I think if we see success on tax reform, that we will see very, very positive finish to the year. That's one of the reasons we need to do it for other reasons, obviously, but getting that done between now and the end of the year would send a very positive message, I think, to consumers and to businesses alike. And that could contribute to where we end up later this year as well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dana. Victoria?
Our next question comes from Warren Thomas with CNBC.
Hey, thanks for hosting this call today. I just wanted to go back again to online sales and that percentage. I guess we see it continue to grow. And first off, I just wanted to ask, I mean, it seems to be that it's, again, like, you know, Cyber Monday, seeing record numbers, but I just wonder if, I mean, is that more, you know, were you expecting this kind of growth online? I know, like, mobile spending really seems to be up this year. And I guess the second part of that would be Amazon's share of that and how you anticipate that growing and how other retailers, I guess, have had to respond with their mobile and online offerings just to compete with Amazon as they're supposedly taking more and more of shoppers' dollars.
So this is Matt. I'll just give you a couple of reactions. I think what we're seeing with the big pickup in mobile is that retailers are really optimizing the way in which consumers can engage with them on their mobile sites. And so this is something that retailers are working very, very hard on. And, you know, I got asked this question last week by someone who said, is it a bad thing? And I said, why would it be a bad thing? I mean, people are shopping more. So that's a great thing. And the fact that they're shopping on their mobile devices is good for the industry. So that demonstrates that these investments are really starting to pay off. and the consumers feel very comfortable making those shopping and those purchasing decisions on their mobile devices. That's very, very positive. We expected it to be up in a pretty substantial way. I mentioned the State of Retail Online report that we did earlier this year, the survey. More than half of our retail members indicated they believed that these numbers were going to jump pretty substantially. That's why they're making those investments. So that's all consistent with what we expected. I think as far as the second part of your question, Amazon is a retail company. They are certainly part of the mix of this conversation. Obviously, they're selling their own products as well as products on their marketplace. I think when you back out the products they sell in the marketplace that are sort of third-party products, the numbers, kind of fall more in line. So they're a factor, but, Walmart is a factor, Target is a factor, Home Depot is a factor. I mean, 24 of the top 25 e-commerce platforms in this country are operated by bricks-and-mortar retailers. So one of them is not, and that's Amazon, and I guess to the extent that Amazon's now a bricks-and-mortar retailer because they have Whole Foods, 25 of 25 are bricks-and-mortar retailers, but obviously they're not a legacy bricks-and-mortar retailer. The other 24 really are much more invested in that part of the business. So I think it's just it all goes to the changing face of retail, the transformation, consumers wanting to shop and engage differently, retailers demonstrating that they can make those investments and grow. You saw really strong earnings reports from Walmart just last week. You saw Best Buy. I think Walmart's online numbers are going 55% or something substantial. So, and there are many others. I mentioned some of those other brands, and we represent thousands of companies, and so I can't single anyone out. I picked those two out because they were recently on CNBC and talking about their performance. But there are many, many other examples of companies that are performing very well in this environment. And I think we should all be very optimistic about that, that these companies are making this transition, they're doing it successfully, they're capturing market share, they're making sales, and they're doing it in a way in which their consumers want to be engaged. So it's an exciting time to be in the industry. This is going to be one of the best seasons we've had in a long time, and we think we're off to a great start with the way things went this holiday over the past 5 days.
Thanks. I guess one thing to ask off of that is, I mean, this trend toward more of a cyber week and just pushing online deals earlier and earlier, what do you think has really been the driving force, I guess, behind that? I mean, is it Amazon or?
I guess my answer to that is that the retail industry is the most consumer-centric industry of any. And retailers are responding to consumers. 3, 4, 5 years ago, people were saying, retail, bah humbug, you guys are opening on Thanksgiving. Well, we were responsive to what consumers wanted then. Consumers have changed now. You've seen people change their hours. You've seen retailers make changes to their schedules. The retail industry responds to where its consumers want to go. Consumers are leading this, and so they're going to continue to lead the industry into new and exciting places. And I think that's, we got a taste of that over this weekend. But you go back to those numbers, I think the big takeaway from this is, people that are channel agnostic, that shop across channels, those are the most valuable customers out there. They spend the most. They spend more than people that shop online only. They spend more than people that shop in-store only. That's why you're seeing the bricks and mortar legacy retailers put more and more investments into online and mobile and e-commerce. That's why we're seeing the legacy pure play online only retailers putting more and more investments into bricks and mortar. The game is no longer played in either end zone. It's played near the 50-yard line. That's where consumers are. That's where retailers are going to go. And I think that's going to be a good thing both for retailers and for the consumers who will benefit from that competition.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Our next question comes from David Moyne with Women's Wear Daily.
Yeah, hi. Any sense of how retailers are going to approach the next couple of weeks post Cyber Monday? Because you often hear the lull that sets in until like around mid-December. So what do you think is going to happen next couple of weeks and any difference from last year?
Well, Dave, I think we're going to see a lot of energy as we get into the last part of the holiday season. Certainly there is a period between Thanksgiving and Christmas when we see a little bit of a gap in between, but we've got those extra days of shopping. We've got four full weekends. I think the retailers are going to be continuing to test the promotions that work, the pricing, the merchandising that work. They're going to roll that out. They're going to save things. You know they've been working on this for 11 months with their suppliers. They've got planned promotions in there. They're going to preserve their margins. I think based on the kinds of spending that we saw occur over the weekend, we know people are spending more on gifts. They spent more on small businesses. They seem to be a little bit less price sensitive. I think that speaks to the confidence of consumers and the deals that were out there. So I think we'll see a variety of tactics employed between now and the holidays, and I would expect multiple big shopping days and big weekends between now and Christmas Day and really all the way through the New Year.
Thanks, David. Next question, Victoria.
Yeah. Our next question comes from Richa Naidu with Reuters.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my question. I just have two really quick questions. One is on the $335.47 average spend per person. Was that within expectations? And if not, you know, which way did it skew and by how much, I guess? And the second question I have is, I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't doing anything, you know, wrong here. But if I were to multiply that by the more than, like, by the 174 million Americans that shop, would that kind of give me a good idea on, you know, how much the overall spend for the 5 days was?
Yeah. Hi, it's Mark Matthews here. I would kind of advise you against doing the multiplying. I don't think it's going to get you to the number. With regard to your first question about the 335, that's the number that we have this year. We didn't forecast. It's not comparable to last year. However, you know, we feel that it is a strong number. We feel that it's a robust number. You know, when you look at some of the other people who are out there talking about sales so far, everything appears to be quite positive. So, you know, we think it's pretty robust.
Okay, that's helpful. I mean, in that case, just on an overall sales number, then, is there anything you can share with us on you know, what that looks like? You know, kind of overall over the 5 days, you know, this number was spent?
So, I'm sorry, overall over the 5 days, are you referring to like $1 billion number or something like that?
Yes.
No, unfortunately, we're not able to do that. We're just providing an average per consumer for spend over the 5 day period.
Okay, that's helpful. In that case, just one last question, if I may. So, I mean, I know you guys don't usually, like, single out particular retailers, but were there any, I guess, sectors that did particularly well, like, with department stores particularly strong or electronics or, I guess, even if you want to, like, were there any standout retailers that really fared well during the period?
This is Matt. I guess I'll just refer you to the press release and then talked about the top shopping destinations. And give some insight into where people were spending their money. I think that provides the backup. I mean, certainly apparel was very strong. We know gift cards are always very, very strong. I think we continue to see that. We'll see. I think as we get into the rest of the season, some of those other toys, electronics, jewelry, I think those are all positive indicators of where we're headed and a strong consumer, that those are gift purchases, not replenishment. And gift purchases generally signal high consumer confidence and higher willingness to spend. Replenishment does not always send that same positive signal.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Victoria?
Our next question comes from Marie Halkias with Dallas Morning News.
Hi. Thanks a lot for taking the call. I have a couple questions. Matt, you said the 24 out of 25. What list are you using to make that statement? Is that Internet Retailer?
There's
There are a variety of them out there. That one is the last one I saw from earlier this year, 17, was Women's Wear Daily. I think that's the WWD list of the top 25 e-commerce platforms, but there are a variety of other ones out there. We've got one. I've looked at ours. I've looked at others. I think across the board, the numbers are generally all the same. The overwhelming majority of e-commerce platforms are operated by retail companies that are legacy bricks and mortar companies. You can back out Amazon. You could probably back out maybe QVC, HSN, although they've obviously got some stores as well. And then you think into the conversation about, you know, how much of a real estate footprint you need to have to be a bricks and mortar retailer. And I guess that goes back to the observation that retail is a game that's being played at the 50-yard line now. I think that's indicative of where consumers want retailers to be, and that's why you're seeing folks with both sorts of histories moving more to the center of the field.
Okay. And my other question, all your survey results about the channel-agnostic consumer and the ones shopping either only online or in stores, and what retailers are saying about what happens with online shopping this time of year. I think Kevin Manzel on from Kohl's on CNBC the other day says the online portion of revenue jumps up this time of year. Adobe just told us, you know, that, let's see, something like 19.6 billion happened in these 5 days online. And why not, I mean, so let's say that's, you all, your number would be 58 billion if you allowed us to make the multiplication. That's about, the online is about 33% of, that. So why isn't that number good? Why don't you feel good about that? Why isn't 58 billion the 5 days of spending, including online?
Hey, Phil, do you want to pick that up?
It's about a third. It kind of all matches up. Why can't we use it?
Phil?
I'll be happy to. When you're trying to project to the entire United States adult population, if you were to ask me to do a billion-dollar projection, I would take a much more rigorous approach than a quick this average versus this population. I would go through and I would analyze the shopper segments by segment. Families with young children, we know they spend differently than young folks that don't have children in the household. Grandparents that have people to buy for that are different from older consumers that don't have those. I would take the average spend by each of the segments, and then I would weight them by the proportion that those segments exist in the population. And that would be the way I would come up with a billion-dollar projection. I would not do it on the back of a napkin by taking an average of everybody and then a number of shoppers. That's just too...
Okay, I get that. Now we can explain it to our editors too. And did you say about 30% is where that online jumps to that level this time of year and on those 5 days? Do you have any data that you feel comfortable extrapolating that number for the 5 days?
We do not.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm afraid that I'm going to go ahead and have to cut this off, Victoria. We've got another appointment at 2 o'clock. So I want to thank everybody for joining today. These are exciting times for our industry, and I think that this survey that we did this year provides a strong snapshot about where we are, where we're heading, and it's all good. If you have any additional questions, please reach out to our team at press@nrf.com. or call us at 855-NRF-PRESS. Victoria, thank you.